very fact that we don't have an ummah, a true ummah, in its truest sense, that led to this. If we were an ummah as we should have been, or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to be, and as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left us, we would have been able to provide aid and help and rescue innocent civilians who are being slaughtered. We can't even get a bottle of water without someone who really wants to see us all gone without their permission. So this is the sad reality. But I also believe that it starts from here, from communities like this community, from individuals like you and I, who really see the importance of it. And here I am, 28 years later, I'm still talking about the same topic that we've been talking about. Almost every Islamic convention that happens yearly, you will find in the topics of that convention, a talk about, or two, about unity, right? So as a matter of fact, some conventions, the entire theme of that convention is unity. So I'm not against discussing it and talking about it, but we really need to be truthful with ourselves, and we need to be transparent. We need to really be committed, because all these talks that we're attending and all these reminders that we're hearing and all these talks that we are given as speakers and as imams and as du'at and all of that, they're going to be, you know, held against us on the Day of Judgment if we do not practice what we preach and if we do not commit to what we already believe in. You see, and sometimes, you know, and I hate to get philosophical, you know, people conflate unity with community and, you know, other great concepts. But Islam calls us to come together. Islam calls us to come together. And there are multiple, you know, Quranic verses that invite us to come together. And I don't see in any of them like an explicit reference to the word unity in the way many people understand it. And again, I'm not saying it's not intended. I'm just saying that it's very important to make the distinction between what we are being invited to do and what we sometimes mistakenly assume we ought to do. So unity in and of itself, I believe, is really a consequence. It's an end. It's something that is a result that comes out of something else that we can all commit to. And that is what is known as coming together. So sometimes people call it jama'ah, sometimes people call it ijtima', creating assemblies. And if you look closely into what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to do, even as individuals, for our own health and for our own growth, it will lead to that. It's meant to teach us that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to pray 5 times a day. Even if you pray individually, which is obviously is inferior to praying in a jama'ah, we are highly encouraged and commanded to pray in a jama'ah, especially the men. Even when you do that, when you pray individually, you are still practicing a communal act of worship. And there's a talk later, I believe, about act of worship. Because, you know, at the same time, there are millions and millions of Muslims praying to the same direction, the same number of rak'ahs, the same, generally speaking, this in the same fashion. It's not like everyone has their own yani prayer. You can come up with your own prayer or your own rituals. That automatically unifies you, only if you really think about it and internalize and realize that this is one of the intended objectives of the acts of worship, of ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that, you know, pray on your own whenever you feel like it. No, five times a day. So in a way, it is important for us to come together, at least spiritually, at least emotionally. Think about, it's important for us to come together five times a day. And then physically, we are commanded to actually do our best to come together physically. Many people, again, as I said, many brothers, and I don't intend to be here to make a distinction, but we are invited to pray five times a day in the masjid if we can. And if we can't do five times, then as many prayers as we can. And, you know, in many communities, alhamdulillah, we see now this trend of people starting their day in the masjid and ending their day in the masjid, coming for Fajr prayer and going to Isha prayer as well. You see this happening in many places, and I travel quite a lot around the country. While still there are people who refuse to be part of that effort. But that in and of itself is supposed to bring us together and create that sense of unity or community amongst the believers. So we find the Quran always inviting us to meet. Ijtima' means to meet, to have an assembly, to come together. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, and if possible, intellectually. So this is one thing that we find a lot of emphasis for in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as in the Quran. Number two, the Quran and the prophetic tradition forbid us from doing anything that could compromise that sense of brotherhood or sisterhood or that thing that bonds us together, that brings us together. Anything that could weaken it, anything that can break it, you're not supposed to do that. Even individually, like, you know, even if it's between you, even if it's a feud between you and someone else, you're not supposed to do that. We are forbidden from doing that. There is an entire surah that talks about how Muslims should behave with each other, how we should avoid doing the things that could actually weaken that bond that we have. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah azza wa jalla in the Quran, Allah azza wa jalla first and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remind us of this very special bond that we have between us. And we should not do anything to weaken it or destroy it. Number three, let me just focus on this bond that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked to us about. And how it was through, obviously, different events and acts of worship and commitment, first and foremost, amongst the believers. The Sahaba, radwanullahi alayhim, the most amazing and fascinating community that has ever, you know, that we look up to, radiallahu anhum, they felt that. And they committed to it. And they set a great example for us. And that is this unique and extraordinary understanding the Sahaba had for ukhuwa. And again, sometimes you use certain words and people like look at you, they're like, oh, isn't that... But I don't know how else to describe it as except as brotherhood. This bond that the believers have. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Ibn Abbas repeats that. He quotes that. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam elaborates on how that should manifest itself. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. Believers are one brotherhood, one unit. There is a bond between the believers. So our community, the unity of our community is deeply rooted in our faith. The stronger your faith is, the stronger that bond that you have with like-minded and like-hearted people should be. And if you don't sense it, if you feel isolated, if you feel that you don't belong, then there is something wrong. If you, when you see a believer, a believing man, a believing woman, when you see them, if you don't feel automatically, if you don't gravitate towards them, if you don't feel a connection of some kind, then there is something wrong. Something seriously is wrong. And unfortunately, more and more people, and obviously there are all kinds of very, you know, complex and factors to that. Many people feel, though they come to the community and they like to have big gatherings, they don't feel like they belong. There's something that is missing. And I think part of it has to do with us not really valuing this quality, seeing the significance and the importance and the weight of this quality. So you really have to do the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about that will actually enhance that feeling. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for instance, tells us, and by the way, look, just if you were to examine the Quranic verses and the prophetic statements, and you can look them up now, you will see that there's a lot of focus on emotions, positive emotions, when it comes to that bond the believers have with one another. So for instance, the Prophet ﷺ talks about love. Love. That the believers are supposed to love one another. And then, so how do we know if we even have that love for the believer, for other believers? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, none of you is a true believer until he or she love for their brethren what they love for themselves. So if you want to really see whether you truly love a believer or not, and whether you're truly a believer or not, you should ask yourself, if I love something, if something is dear to my heart, whatever that thing is, promotion, status, wealth, could be something very specific or something very general. Do I love it? Do I love for my brethren to have the same thing? Do I love for others what I love for myself? And if that's not the case, then we've got an issue here. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, well, you're not going to believe, you're not going to enter Jannah until you believe. لا تدخل الجنة حتى تؤمن ولا تؤمن حتى تحب. And you're not going to truly be believers until you love one another. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, should I not tell you about something that if you were to do, it will actually spread or strengthen and promote that love amongst you. أفشوا السلام بينكم. Spread peace. Not only the greeting of peace, but be peaceful towards one another. Harbor nothing but positive, you know, feeling towards other believers. Get rid of whatever causes you to have animosity or hatred towards another believer. Whatever causes misunderstandings, suspicion, jealousy, etc., etc. All these things that many of us fall into. Think of others to be as good, if not a better version of yourself. Show up in the life of another believer, even if it's just by, you're passing by them. You're just passing by them. You're just, show up as someone that it brings peace, someone that spreads peace, someone that intends peace for them. أَفْشُوا السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Spread peace. Another recommendation the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, and by the way, salam is one of the ways that we actually get to know each other. So, you know, and there are other hadith that talk about that. Many of us, by the way, we have very, very superficial relationships, even when we go to our community center. Now, I'm sure, ya jama'ah, you're like me. And I'm guilty of it. And may Allah forgive me. I'm sure you've been to the same masjid for a long time, and you've run into the same individuals for a long time, and you don't even know their names. You don't know their names. And there are many people, you know their names, that you don't know what they're doing. I know people that, you know, prayed next to each other for years. And sometimes I'm like, oh, do you know? And I'm like, astaghfirullah al-azim, I'm bad with names, man. Do you know the brother that prays to your left? That's what I say. He's like, which one? The one that was there yesterday at Fajr. He was praying to your left. He was wearing such and such. He's like, yeah. Do you have his phone number? It's like, no. In a community where people have been seeing each other for years. Years. So if we don't get to know one another, we're not going to really care for each other. We're not going to feel that bond. The Prophet ﷺ actually takes it a step further. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Tahadu tahabbu," exchange gifts, and you will love one another. And we know that giving gifts or receiving gifts is a very powerful love language. Exchange gifts. This is the Prophet ﷺ, 1400 years before Gary Chapman discovered that giving gifts is a love language. The Prophet ﷺ talked about that. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Tahadu tahabbu," exchange gifts and you will love one another. But you're not going to exchange gifts with anyone that you don't know very well. As a matter of fact, if someone doesn't know you very well and they give you a gift, you're like, there may be some listening device in this gift. Are you spying on me or something? So we need to get to know one another. We need to do ta'aruf. Get to know one another authentically. If we really value this beautiful gift Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the gift of community. Now, you know, let me move into areas that are key. And I'm assuming that you're all, like most people are from Allentown, correct? Yes? No? I'm assuming most people. I'm not saying, you know, y'all are from, most of you? Okay. Now, show of hand, how many of you are regular visitors of your local masjid? Be it your regular visitors of your local masjid. You know, okay, during the election years, one of the stats that really disturbed me within the most active, again, studies do not, you know, sometimes they can be, they may not be very conclusive, but there was something that really, you know, disturbed me in the past 10 years, that most people that actually consider themselves to be very religious, that includes Muslims. I'm talking about Muslims. This is also true amongst even Christians. But most people that consider themselves to be committed Muslims, they do not attend weekly programs in the masjid. They do not. Imagine, we're talking about not even Friday, most. And when I say most, I'm talking about 41%. Sorry, I'm talking about more than 50% of those who consider themselves to be religious. So, in a study done by Pew Research, they actually surveyed Muslims, 80% of whom claim that they are committed Muslims, 80% of whom. And then when they were asked how often, if they go to a regular gathering in their community center, once or more per week, only 39% said they do. That means 41%. That means half, if I read it correctly, if I remember correctly, more than half actually don't. They do not associate with their local masjid for whatever reason they have. That's very disturbing. And that makes me wonder where people get their religious teachings from. Obviously online. Right? And where people get that bond or that connection to the rest of the ummah. And I tell people, if you're not able to get along with your local community, how should I expect you to get along with the rest of the ummah? If you can't get along with your local community, if you can't feel that you're part of your local community, how are we expected to be part of a bigger body with all its complexities and challenges and issues and problems? So the first step towards really being part of this body that we call Ummah is to be part of your local community. Build relationships and be part of your local masjid. And inshallah ta'ala, maybe during the breakout session, we can talk more about this. I don't have much faith in people who are really isolated and are not or don't want to be part of their local communities, who are not as excited about it. I know people that they will flock to national events and different activities and stuff like that. But whatever is happening in their local community, be it some charity work or youth activities and other programs, they have no interest whatsoever. So that's the first step. And again, we find this in the prophetic tradition that, yes, keep going. Attend not only the Jum'ahs, but attend as many prayers as you can. At least start your day in the masjid, end your day in the masjid. And be part of that group. So the masjid, alhamdulillah, is a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No wonder the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as soon as he arrived in Medina, even before he built a place of residence for himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made sure that they build a masjid first. That's what he did. And he participated in the building of the masjid. And by the way, it was very, very simple. It was not as fancy as some of the masajid that we have, including my masjid. Big, huge facility, massive, you know. It doesn't need to be. Keep it simple, right? Make sure that everyone has that masjid in their hearts. They come together and then grow organically, gradually and organically. And as your needs grow, you can grow your center. Inshallah ta'ala, I'll stop right here. How much time do we have left? 6 minutes, inshallah. Is there a Q&A session now or later? I actually put a note for myself here to take questions from the audience. What is the format? After I finish. Oh, later. There is a separate session, inshallah. Okay. I'm going to leave the challenges that get in the way of our unity for the breakout session, inshallah ta'ala. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring our hearts together. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us get through these very trying and difficult days. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to restore peace and tranquility in the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah azza wa jalla give victory to the resilient people of Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restore peace in Lebanon and the rest of the Muslim world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite this ummah and help us restore that glory that we once were able to enjoy as believers whose hearts were brought together. I'll conclude, ya jama'ah, by saying that do not underestimate the power of dua. Do not underestimate the power of dua. Keep in mind that love that we're talking about, that sense of unity and community that we're talking about, it's all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do not, and again, I don't want to take away from the session that talks about ibadah, acts of worship, and the role of that to cleanse our hearts and bring us together. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is very profound, and I've been reflecting on this a lot lately. Allah azza wa jalla said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصُّرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He's the one that gave you strength or victory through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you victory directly, and he surrounded you with the believers. One of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's greatest assets that Allah azza wa jalla reminds him of are the believers who were around him. What was so special about them, O Allah? وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. One of the secrets of their strength was that sense of unity and community, that love, that bond that they had amongst them. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And it was not only at the spiritual level as well as the emotional level. Their hearts were combined. Their hearts were brought together. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ There was ta'lif. They got along. That doesn't mean that they were all the same, that they all wore the same uniforms, and that they all grew their beard the same way, and they all wore the same color of kufi, and the sahabiyat wore the same color or style of scarves, and stuff like that. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that they all just superficially and outwardly conformed. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ Their hearts were connected. They had no issues. The poor did not have any issues with the rich. The rich didn't have any issues with the poor. The Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim. And if they ever were to compete, they would compete in the matters of Akhirah. Which when you compete in the matters of Akhirah, it still brings your hearts together. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, taught them how to not let dunya. And he used to tell them, I fear for you. Dunya is what I fear for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he's the one that actually brought their hearts together. When their hearts were connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attached to Allah, their hearts came together. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ If you were to spend all the treasures and the wealth on this planet, you would have not been able to achieve that. You can't bribe people to genuinely and authentically love one another, care for each other, defend one another, die for each other, live for one another, care for each other. You can't. Wealth won't do that for you. It doesn't. Look what is happening with the hip-hop culture. It doesn't do that. None of these things. Fame doesn't do it. None of these things do it. Worldly matters don't do it. وَالْعَيَذُ بِاللَّهِ But the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, devoting ourselves to Allah azza wa jal, will do that automatically. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوَ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of doing it. So turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua for yourself and for the rest of the ummah. And ask Allah azza wa jal to instill in your heart this deep love and appreciation for the Muslims. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala endears you to the Muslims as well. And inshallah ta'ala that will lead one day, inshallah ta'ala, to you not only feeling the sense of unity, but you enjoying the fruits of that unity. أَقُولُ هَذَا الْقَوْلُ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته